Okay, so welcome to another deep dive. You know, we always try to dig into some pretty interesting stuff, and well, today I think we've got a really interesting one.
Yeah, this one is fascinating and honestly kind of strange too.
Yeah, and we're looking at Japan and China. Seems like something's going on between them, and we've got reports from the Epoch Times and also Nikkei.
Yuki, that's a Chuki for those who don't read Japanese.
Yeah, exactly. So, we're going to take a look at those. And basically, there was a diplomatic exchange, pretty high level meeting, and it seems like things went a little sideways.
Yeah, so this meeting, it happened on March 21st of this year, so just a couple of days ago. And it involved the Japanese Prime Minister Ishiba Shigeru, and he met with the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, and they met at the Prime Minister's office in Japan.
Right. So it sounds like, a pretty normal diplomatic thing.
Yeah, on the surface.
You'd think they'd just, issue a statement afterwards and that would be it. But
You'd think it would be straightforward.
yeah, and that is not what happened. It got a little bit messy because, following the meeting, there was a pretty big difference between what the Japanese government said happened and what was on the website for the Chinese Ministry of Foreign
Yeah,
Affairs.
that's like two totally different stories.
It really is. Like, they weren't even at the same meeting. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, and so what we're trying to figure out here is like, what's the difference? You know, what are the big points that they don't agree on? And then how did Japan react to this? And, you know, bigger picture, what does it mean when this kind of stuff happens, you know, in diplomacy?
Right, because these things matter, right?
Oh, they matter a lot.
Yeah.
It's not just about like dotting your I's and crossing your, it's really about trust between countries.
Yeah, exactly. And if you can't even agree on what was said in a meeting, that's a problem.
Big problem, yeah.
So let's start with how Japan reacted, because according to Nikkei, they're reporting on the 22nd, so just yesterday, and they're getting this right from the Japanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Japan was not happy about this.
Right? They didn't just like shrug it off. They took it very seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing they did was they launched a formal protest with China.
Yeah. That's not nothing.
No, formal protest is a big deal in diplomacy. It means they're really concerned and it could affect, you know, future talks and
Yeah, it's
stuff.
a shot across the bow.
Exactly. And they didn't stop there either.
Yeah.
They actually demanded that China removed the statements that they thought were inaccurate.
Yeah, that's bold. They're basically saying, hey, fix your official record.
Which shows you how important it is to them that their leader isn't misrepresented.
Right, exactly.
And on top of that, the Japanese Foreign Ministry said that they felt regret over the Chinese ministry's actions.
Regret? That sounds so mild, though.
Yeah, it does. But regret in diplomacy is pretty serious.
Yeah.
It's a formal way of saying we're disappointed and we don't approve, and that can really strain relations.
So they're not messing around. They're
No.
using the diplomatic language, but the message is clear. They're not happy. Okay, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Like, what exactly did the Chinese Foreign Ministry say that Prime Minister Ishiba supposedly said that Japan is now saying, no way that didn't happen?
Right. So one thing they claim he said was that he conveyed greetings to Chinese leaders, and they specifically mentioned President Xi Jinping.
Okay, so that sounds pretty standard, like a diplomatic pleasantry.
Yeah. But it sets the tone for what comes next.
Okay, I'm intrigued what came next.
So then the Chinese account claims that Ishiba brought up some kind of consensus that he supposedly reached with President Xi Jinping back in November of last year. And this supposed consensus was all about like advancing relations between Japan and China, you know, making them strategic and reciprocal and building a stable relationship. And they even said it led to all these new achievements in different areas of cooperation.
Wow, so they're painting a really rosy picture of everything.
Yeah, and Japan's not buying it.
So where's the big lie? Like, what's the thing they really object to?
Okay, so the biggest issue, and the one that the Japanese Foreign Ministry flat out denied, is that they're claiming, Ishiba said, that Japan fully recognizes the important significance of the four political documents between Japan and China, respects China's stated position, and is willing to strengthen exchanges and cooperation with China to promote the development of bilateral relations and better benefit the people of both countries.
Okay, so that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's diplomatic speak.
But there's a phrase in there that seems to be the real problem, respects China's stated position.
Right.
And the Japanese Foreign Ministry is saying, nope, he never said that.
Nope, not at all. And it's a big deal because China's stated position could refer to a lot of sensitive issues like territorial disputes where Japan and China have very different views.
Right. So if the Japanese prime minister is on record saying he respects China's position on those things, that could cause huge problems for him both in Japan and with other countries.
Exactly. It could make Japan look weak and damage their relationships with other countries that are also at odds with China.
So it's a strategic move by China to try to make it look like Japan is more on their side than they actually are.
Exactly. They're trying to control the narrative.
Okay. So if Ishiba didn't talk about all that, what did he actually bring up, according to the Japanese side?
Well, according to the Japanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ishiba focused on things that are really important to Japan right now.
Okay, like what?
So first he brought up the situation in the East China Sea.
Ah, yeah, that's always a hot topic.
Yeah, it's been causing tension between the two countries for a long time because they both claim the same areas and there are constant issues with ships and stuff.
Right, makes sense that he would bring that up.
And then he also talks about keeping Japanese citizens safe in China.
Yeah, that's a big deal for any government, to make sure their people are safe abroad.
Absolutely. A basic responsibility and something that probably comes up in most high-level diplomatic meetings.
No, pretty standard stuff.
Yeah. And then the third thing he raised was asking China to lift the ban on Japanese seafood.
Ah, yeah. That was a big deal, that ban.
Yeah, China put that ban in place after Japan started releasing that treated water from the Fukushima nuclear plant.
Right, and Japan was not happy about that.
No, not at all. It's been causing a lot of problems for Japanese fishermen, and it's become a big diplomatic issue, too.
So basically, what Ishiba talked about was very specific and focused on things that are problems right now in the relationship between Japan and China.
Yeah, very different from the vague, positive stuff that China is claiming, he said.
Yeah, so it's a pretty stark contrast.
It really is.
So did China say anything after Japan protested and asked them to change their statement?
Well, as of last night, the 22nd, the stuff that Japan is complaining about was still up on the Chinese Foreign Ministry website.
So no change?
Nope. And that's kind of telling in itself because Japan made a pretty strong protest.
Yeah, it seems like China's just ignoring them.
It could be. Or it could be that they just see the situation very differently. You know, they might think they're in the right and they don't need to change anything.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because it makes you wonder, is this the first time this has happened?
That's a great question. And actually, it seems like it might not be.
Really?
Yeah. You know, some reports are saying that this isn't the first time that the Chinese foreign ministry has kind of twisted the words of foreign officials.
Oh, wow. So, like, what kind of stuff are we talking about?
Well, there was this case last year, July 26, 2024, so not even a year ago. And it involved Wang Yi again. He was still foreign minister at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he met with the Japanese foreign minister back then. Her name was Kamakawa Yoko, and they met in Laos.
Okay.
And afterwards, the Chinese foreign ministry put out a statement claiming that Minister Kamakawa had said that Japan's one China policy has not changed.
Oh, so that's like saying Japan agrees with China's view on Taiwan.
Exactly, right. Which is a really sensitive issue.
And did Japan just let that slide?
Nope, they did not. Just like in the current situation, the Japanese foreign ministry put out a statement saying, no, that's not what she said. That's not Japan's position.
Mm.
And they basically called the Chinese account a lie.
So we've got a pattern here.
Seems like it, yeah.
And this time it's even bigger because it involves the prime minister.
Right. It's a much higher level. And it shows that maybe this isn't just a one-off mistake. Maybe this is how China operates.
Yeah, that's a little scary because like you said at the beginning, this is about trust.
Yeah, if countries can't trust each other to report accurately on what was said in meetings, then it's really hard to have productive diplomacy.
You can't build a relationship if you're constantly worried about being misrepresented.
Exactly. And the thing is, these discrepancies, they might seem like small things, you know, just a few words here and there.
Right.
But they can be really deliberate.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way for China to kind of control the story and make it look like other countries agree with them even when they don't.
Yeah. So it's like propaganda.
In a way.
Yeah. Okay. So to sum it all up, we've got this big disagreement between Japan and China over what was said in a meeting. And Japan is saying China is flat out lying about what their prime minister said.
Exactly. And it's especially about that phrase, respects China's stated position, which could have huge implications for Japan's foreign policy.
And this isn't the first time Japan has accused China of misrepresenting them in official records.
Nope. And that raises some serious questions about how much we can trust official statements from China, especially when it comes to their diplomatic interactions.
Right. So the big takeaway here is that you always have to be careful about what you believe, even when it's coming from official sources.
Exactly. You have to check multiple sources, compare different accounts, and really think critically about the information you're getting.
Because even governments can't always be trusted to tell the truth.
Especially when they have something to gain by twisting the narrative.
Yeah, so it's a messy situation, and it makes you think about the bigger picture. You know, what are the long-term consequences of this for the relationship between Japan and China?
Yeah, that's a good question to think about. And then also, you know, how should we as individuals be approaching information from different governments when it's clear that they can't always be trusted?
That's a really good point to leave everyone with. How do we figure out what's real when even official records can be so different?
Exactly. It's a challenge. But it's more important than ever to be aware of these issues and to be critical consumers of information.
Well said on that note. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. It's been a fascinating one.
It really has. Thanks for having me.
And to all our listeners out there, stay sharp and keep questioning everything.
You got it.
Until next time.
See you then.